Well, turning your Bibles to Genesis 42, Genesis chapter 42, we're continuing our study of what we're calling the patriarchs, and we're seeing the lives of four men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, we said that when most people say study the patriarchs, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We threw Joseph in to put so we could get the whole book, and so we could put these four people together. So really, Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, and then Jacob had the 12 sons, and Joseph is one of those, and he's really prominent in the book of Genesis. We've seen these people. We say Abraham is the man of faith, and if you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are a descendant, one sense, of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham, because Abraham is a man of faith, and when you're a people of faith, we're men and women of faith. We do connect with him. Isaac, we call him the quiet man, and then Jacob, the wild man, and Joseph, the faithful and forgiving man. So there's a lot there. And when we look at Joseph's life, and you don't have to write down everything. Well, I'll give you a chance if you want to write it down. We've seen it a lot. Man of faith, quiet man, wild man, faithful and forgiving man. That's what Joseph. And we talk about in this slide right here is Joseph's life has often been called from the pit to the palace. And it's really an amazing thing. How can a Hebrew boy, he's now right at 30 years old, but how can a Hebrew young man become number two in Egypt? It's baffling how God can do anything he chooses to do. How could a Jewish guy become number two at the time of Esther? Because Mordecai did. And, I mean, just think about how God does all those kind of things. Well, let's think about it. We're going to look at three things tonight. Joseph tests his brothers. I love this, because I love watching what Joseph does. And, you know, some people say, well, I feel sorry for those boys. I don't feel sorry for them a bit because, I mean, they're good. You know, they did some things that got themselves into trouble, and we'll see what happens here. Joseph tests his brothers part one, Joseph tests his brothers part two, and then Joseph reveals himself. So there's a lot there. Joseph is now going to see his brothers after about 20 years. Now, you think about it. He was 17 years old when he was thrown into the deal. Okay, then he became the ruler at age 30. Now, what have they had? They've now had 7 years. So he's 37. He's 37 or 38 years old. So it's been 20 years since his brothers have seen him. Now, first of all, they're not going to recognize him. Why? He looks like an Egyptian. He got him one of those little hat things and shaved his head probably. And he probably looks like Yul Brynner looked in, you know. Anybody remember what was that, Ten Commandments, Yul Brynner? He was the best looking Pharaoh I've ever seen. I love Yul Brynner. Anyway, so let's start with this. Most people, we don't like tests. I don't like tests a whole lot. And written tests or something. You know, in the Bible, there's two words for test. There's a word that means test for approval. It's not like trying to trick you. It's test for approval. And by the way, all of our tests in this class are tests for approval. Because why? I already give you the answers. We talk about them. I say, here's what I want you to know, and this is for approval. And then there's a test, sometimes a word that has an idea of to cause you to fall. Now, God never causes people to sin. That's never his plan. As we look at this section, Joseph is going to test his brothers, and he's not wanting them to sin. He wants to see what they're like. Have these brothers changed that sold him into slavery, that were jealous of him? Are they different now? And this evening, after 20 years, at least 20 years, he sees them. They don't recognize him because he looks like an Egyptian. And they're coming there, and they're coming there for food. And so they meet him. Isn't it amazing that Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him? Of course, they wouldn't, because he doesn't look like himself. So this evening, we got the testing for the brothers. So let's look at part one. Joseph tests his brothers, part one, okay? And that's your own page. I think you're on the next page where Joseph tests his brothers, part one, Genesis 42. And when we see this, we begin really with a question. Why would God warn the Egyptians concerning the famine? So who? Because they're gonna. Is it for the Egyptians that he's warned them? It's actually not. It's for the Hebrews. It's for the Jewish people. So Genesis 42. Let's see what's going to happen. Verse 1 says this. Now Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. Now the famine has come, just like he said. There was 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Everything's going. It's really, really terrible. And so it's when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, And Jacob said to his sons, why are you staring at one another? I mean, I love this passage. Because, I mean, you know, he looks at them and goes, what do you guys think you're doing? Why are y'all just standing around when we're starving to death here? I heard that there is grain in Egypt. And Genesis 42, hey, what are the brothers doing? He implies that they're just standing around not trying to get food. Frustration of the old man. He's the old man and he's bitter. Why is he so bitter? His favorite son has been gone for a long time. And the other guys, you know, what do they say? Remember, they say, is this your son's? You know, so they're not close. But here's what he says, verse 2. He said, behold, I have heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there, buy some for us from that place so that we may live and not die. You know, people read the Bible and they read it so fast. What happens if they don't get grain and they die? There's no Savior. Listen, y'all, there's no Messiah. There's no Jewish people. There's no Messiah. That's it. So let's see what's going to happen. So the 10 brothers of Joseph went down to buy grain from Egypt. Wait a minute, how many brothers are there total? There's 12, but one of them they think's dead, or he thinks dead. And so there's 10 going. So who's left behind? Who's left? Jacob's not going to send what? But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, I'm afraid that harm might befall him. Well, what about the rest of your sons? He says, listen, y'all head on. I'm not going to let Benjamin go with you because I don't want anything to happen to him. And you, what would they say? Well, what about us? You know, what about us? And the truth is, it's the same thing. He had lost Joseph. He's not going to take the chance of losing Benjamin. Why? Why are these two boys? Because they're from Rachel. They're from the woman he loved, and that's the kids that he loved. And the problem is he's showing it, and he's been showing it all the time, and everybody knows it, and the boys know it, and everybody knows it. And that was one of the reasons they didn't like Joseph, because they were jealous of him, and he got everything, and he was favored of the father. We don't know that Joseph really did anything wrong for them to hate him like that, but whenever you have favoritism in a family, you're going to always have trouble like this. And so he's not going to send Benjamin. So look what the next verse says. So the sons of Israel came to buy grain among those who were coming, for the famine was great in the land of Canaan also. So here it is. Now Joseph, look at verse 6. Joseph was the ruler over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came. Oh my goodness, look what's about to happen. And Joseph's brothers came and what? Bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Wow, I think I remember something about Joseph saying something about my sheaf and they all are all going to bow down. You think we're going to ever bow down to you? Wow. Well, they come to Egypt, and who do they have to see? Whose job is it to hand out the food and get the money for it? People have to pay for it. Who's going to get rich out of this? Pharaoh's going to get rich. Pharaoh's going to get rich. In fact, before it's all over, Pharaoh's going to own every bit of the land. He's going to own everything. Everything in Egypt. Pharaoh will own everything in Egypt when it's over. So here they arrive in Egypt, and Joseph has now become number two. And his word, he is in complete control. And what happens to him? What do the brothers do when they saw Joseph? They bow down. Did they know it was Joseph? No, they didn't. And the dream that Joseph told them a long time ago, one of these days you're going to bow down to me. And they'll say, we will not bow down. You know, I learned a long time ago, don't say what you're not going to do. Just say, I hope I don't do this. But don't say, I'm not going to do something, because you never know. And this is the fulfillment. This was the fulfillment of the dream that God gave to Joseph so many years before. Genesis 37:10. That's where they talked about it, told that they would all bow down to him. And without knowing it, the brothers fulfilled the dream. By the way, they're going to bow down to him five times in this passage. Five times. And they don't know that he's the ruler in Egypt. They don't know it's their brother. So they didn't know it. So look what happened. It says, when Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he disguised himself to them and spoke to them harshly. And he said to them, where have you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Now, Joseph looks like an Egyptian. We already know that what he's going to do, since he knows the language. They can talk to each other, and he can. But they don't think he knows it, because he's an Egyptian. And when he talks to them, he uses an interpreter, like he doesn't know what they say. And so he's really fooling them, and they're all just talking. I don't know what we're going to do. And he's listening to everything they say, and they don't think he can understand them. But he's pretty smart. He's pretty wild. He knows what he's doing. So he recognizes them. They don't recognize him. And so Joseph had recognized his brothers, although they did not recognize him. That's verse 8. And so he's going to test them. He's going to test his brothers. And listen, this makes sense. The last time he saw his brothers, 20 years ago, what did they do? They threw him in a well, then pulled him up, then they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and he's been gone. And as far as he knows, they care nothing about him and never did care anything about him. And he probably has wondered, what about my brother, the other brother that from the same mama? Wonder how they've treated him, because I know how they treated me. I wonder how they've treated my brother. So he probably wonders, what are they going to be like? So he's going to test them, and he's going to see how will the brothers treat each other, and how do they treat his little brother? How does it work? What are they doing? So it says, Joseph had recognized his brothers, though they didn't recognize him. Joseph remembered the dreams which he had about them. What were the dreams? That they were going to what? Bow down. They've already bowed down to him. You almost could see Joseph going, oh, by the way, I'd like to say something to y'all. I told you so. And they still don't know why he would say it, but he could have. Joseph remembered the dreams which he had about them, and he said to them, watch what he does. You're spies. You've come to look at the undefended parts of our land. So he says that they're spies, and that they've come to do this. They don't realize, and by the way, let me come back. They begin to try to explain. Look at verse 10. They said to him, oh, no, my Lord. We've come to buy food. We're all sons of one man. We're honest men. Your servants are not spies. Are they honest? Well, they may have been, but they lied to their daddy about stuff, and they've lied, you know. So, and it says, yet he said to them, no, you have come to look at the undefended parts of the lands. But they said, no, your servants, we're 12 brothers in all. Really? The sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no longer alive. You can almost see Joseph saying, you want to bet? So they don't realize when they're saying that, when they're lying to the one person who really knows what happened to the one who is no more. Now he looked out there and he counted up and he realized that his younger brother was not there. Benjamin was not there. And they said, yeah, there's 12 of us. We're 10 here. The youngest is back home and one is no more. They don't tell what happened to the one that is no more. And so we're going to see that he's going to test them. And so this is test number one. And what does he say? You're spies. And look at verses 14 and 15, because I love this. Joseph said to him, I said, you're spies. This will be your test. This is how you're going to be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Oh, my. He says, you've got to bring the youngest brother. This is the test. They had to bring the youngest brother. The plan number one, send to get the younger brother. The rest are going to go to prison. Listen to this, what he says. Send one of you that he may get your brother while you remain confined, that your words may be tested whether there's truth in you. If not, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you're spies. So he says, oh, here's how I'm going to test you. You can get to send one guy back home. All the rest of you I'm going to put in prison. And they just look at each other like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Send someone to get the younger brother. You'll stay in prison. When you come back, when that one comes back with the younger brother, and then I'll believe that you're not spies, and I'll let you out of prison. And so he puts them in prison, and then he put them together in prison for 3 days. And then he says, now Joseph said to them on the third day, wait a minute. Do this and live, I fear God. He said, listen, I've got another plan. I'm going to go plan number two. Here's what I'm going to do, plan number two. He says this, you keep one brother in prison and the others go get Benjamin. And of course, he didn't say Benjamin. He said, go get the other brother. So he says, if you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in prison. For the rest of you, go carry grain for your family and for your household. Bring your youngest brother to me so your words may be verified and you not die. And they did so. Wow. So he starts off and he says, okay, I got a plan. Plan number one, you get to pick out one of your brothers. He goes back and gets the youngest brother. The rest of you stay in prison. And they were in prison for 3 days. And all of them were in prison for 3 days. And they're thinking, well, I don't know how he's going to do this. And he comes in and says, I've made a decision. Since I fear God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let one of you stay here in prison And the rest of you go back, get your brother, the youngest brother, and bring him back. And when you bring him back, I'll know that you're not spies. So the first test is what? Spies. And you can do that. And you can go get him. And what will they do? Now, here's the question. What will they do? Will they forget the brother that's left behind? Think about it. They're going to get what? They're going to get food, and they're going to go back to daddy, and they're going to say, we just came back, and we got food. But wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's one of them left behind. What are they going to do about that? How will they treat the brother left behind? You know what Joseph wants to find out? What are they going to do about this one left behind? I mean, we already know how they treated me. They threw me in a well, and then they sold me off. So what's going to happen to this one? Are they going to leave him here? What will they do? And so verse 19, so if you're honest men, we'll take one of your brothers, the rest can go. Bring your younger brother to me, your words may be verified and you not die. And they did so, and they said to one another, and listen, they're talking, he can hear everything they say. They said, truly, we're guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. What's they talking about? What is Galatians 6:7? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever you what? You sow, you reap. Do you know what they're saying? We did bad to our brother, now guess what? It's happening to us. Bad stuff is happening to us. And then look at the brother Reuben. Reuben says, didn't I tell you? I told you. Reuben answered them saying, did I not tell you don't sin against the boy? And you wouldn't listen. Now comes the reckoning for his blood. Now look at verse 23. I love it. They didn't know, however, Joseph understood, for there was an interpreter between them. Joseph's listening to everything they're saying, and he's watching them fuss back and forth, and they don't know. Reuben said, didn't I tell you? I told you we shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have sinned. We shouldn't have done this. And I love it when he says, because we didn't, you know, they turned away. He turned away from them and wept. Who wept? It's raking Joseph's heart. Because what? He hasn't seen his brothers in 20 years. What does he might want to do for them? He might want to love them. Joseph has been one of those men that if you sold him into slavery, he was a great slave. If you sold him into the prison, he was the best prison guy. And now he's been number two, and he's probably the best number two you could ever have. He's one of those guys that always rises to the occasion. Could it be that Joseph isn't saying, boy, I'm going to get these guys back? He's not doing that. He's testing them to see what kind of men they are. Can he trust them? Are they like they were when they threw him into the well and sold him off? Or have they changed? Are they good men or not? What are they going to be like? And so Joseph turns away from them and wept. And he said, you could almost see him say, I'll be back. And left for a little bit. And they don't know what he's doing. And he's actually crying. And he turned away from them. Then he returned to them and spoke to them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him for their eyes. He took his brother. Man. And you know what I would be afraid of? Because he's got to put, where does he got to put Simeon? Prison. I'd be afraid something could happen to him in there. But you know, I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't told him and said, nothing better happen to this guy. Okay, so the question you ask is, how long from the time Simeon's going to be in jail before they come back? Well, it didn't have to be that long, but they don't come back for a long time. Yeah, and we'll see why in just a second. We'll see what's going to happen. So here's the first test, and the first test is this. What will they do about Simeon, and what about Benjamin? And so the first test, are they going to bring back Benjamin? And he wants to see how they treated each other. Wow. Wow.
So is that test?
Go back.
No, on our books it says test number two.
We hadn't got to test number two yet. That's just a review of test number one. Test number two, it says test number two, the, right? We're there. See there? Okay. All right. Quit jumping ahead. What do you think you're doing? Okay, no, this is a review right here. It says, so test number one, bring back Benjamin, see how they treat it. Here comes test number two, and test number two is the money. Okay, the money. Are they honest? He wants to know what kind of men they are now. So look at verse 25. Then Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain and to restore every man's money in his sack and to give them provisions for the journey, and thus it was done for them. Now, they've come and bought the food, and they gave the money to buy the food, and they gave them the food, and then in the sacks that they were given, they put all the money back in the sacks. And then they give it. So basically, they didn't pay for anything. And so he's testing them. What will they do with the money? What will they do with the money? What would they do? He put the money back in the sacks of grain. And what? So what's going to happen? Would they be honest? So the second test is, would they be honest with the money? And when they return, would they say anything? He knows. He has a figure. He thinks that what they'll do is they'll go get Benjamin and come right back so that they can get what? Simeon out of prison. And if they're honest, what will they say when they come back? We don't know what happened. We got money. We got our money back. So here's double money to pay because we paid the first time, but somehow we got the money back. We don't understand. That's what he thinks they might do. What are they going to do? Well, look at verse 26. So they loaded their donkeys with grain and they departed from there. And as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he saw his money. And behold, it was in the mouth of the sack. And he said to his brothers, My money has been returned, and it's even in my sack. And their hearts sank, and they turned trembling to one another, saying, what is this that God has done to us? Why would they say that? Because that man's going to, that powerful man who controls all the food is going to think we what? Stole this money. That we give it, but we didn't give it, and we stole it. So what are we going to do? And what are they saying? What is God doing with us? And you could see Reuben and them saying, I told you we should not have done that. It's coming back on us, just like the Bible tells us. We know that in the scripture is there's sowing and reaping. What you put in, you get out, and you got to be really careful. And so here's what happens. They're gonna go home. They're gonna return to Jacob. And verse 29 says this. So when they came to the father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man, the Lord of the land, spoke harshly with us, took us for spies of the country. We said to him, we're honest men. We're not spies. We're 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no longer alive, and the youngest is with our father today in the land of Canaan. So we told him everything. We told him everything about us, and we told him about our family, and we told him about our life, and we told him about there were 12 of us, and one is dead, and all of that. And so we told him everything. The man, verse 33, the Lord of the land said to us, okay, by this I will know that you're honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me, take grain for the famine for your household, and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, that I may know you're not spies, but honest men. I'll give your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. He said, listen, so here's the plan. So they came back and told their daddy. He said, well, the man was really harsh. He thought we were spies. I don't know why he thought it was spies, but he thought we were spies. And so he actually took one of us. He took Simeon and said, okay, here's what you got to do. We told him there were 12 of us, and one was dead, and one was back home. And he said, you got to go get the youngest one and bring him back. And then we'll make it, and he'll prove that we're not spies. What do you think Jacob's going to say? No. Why in the world would you tell him you had a younger brother back home? Why would you tell him anything? It came about as they were emptying their sacks that, behold, every man's bundle of money was in the sack. And when they and their father saw their bundles of money, they were dismayed. And Jacob said, oh, you, to those guys, you have bereaved me of my children. Wait. I thought we were your children too. No, you're not. You're my children, but you're not my main children. Joseph is what? He's no more. He's gone. Guess what? Simeon is what? No more. And now you're going to get who? Benjamin. All these things are against me. I love what he does. He says, everything's against me. Joseph's gone, Simeon's gone, and now you're going to go get Benjamin and take him away. And so my two favorite boys are going to be gone, and just so happens one of the other boys is gone. And what are you doing? I started with 12, and I'm going to end up with 9. And there's no telling what's going to happen. Sometimes when things look really, really wrong and really bad, we don't know. We don't know what God's doing. We don't know what's going to happen. I put this up that right here. It says, we don't know the future. God's plan. Sometimes things seem to be the worst. And if you said to Jacob right now, how do you think your life is going? He said, it's going horrible. We're in a famine. We got no money. I lost my favorite son 20 years ago. I'm having to give up my next favorite son because he's got to go back. One of my sons is already down there, and he may never come back. And so this is horrible. Everything is against me. Let me ask you a question. Is everything against Jacob? Why? Tell me why. God's what? God has a plan, and it's a good plan. Let me show you this. Do you realize that it won't be very long he'll see Joseph after 20 years? The one that he thought was dead, he's gonna find out is still alive. And he's gonna see Simeon, although he thinks he may never see Simeon again. And he's going to be provided for in the famine. And see, right now, they're not provided for. They're having to go buy stuff. They hope they can get enough food. They don't know if they can make it. They're going to be provided. In fact, when they go to Egypt, they're going to be the best place of the land, and they're going to get the best food. Because Joseph is so powerful, and when Pharaoh finds out that this is Joseph's family, Pharaoh says, give them anything they need. Give them whatever they want. Tell them to pick out the best land. Let them have everything. And so here's Joseph, Jacob, all upset. He's going to see Joseph after 20 years. He's going to see Simeon in the famine. He's not going to have to worry about anything. And his family will be united after all these years. So what he thinks is the worst time in his life is about to be the best time in his life. And sometimes things are going on and it doesn't look good, and we say things like, I don't know how we're going to make it, what's going to happen. And yet God takes those things and shapes them. I think of the book of Esther, and it looked like every Jew was going to be put to death. It turns out everything was great. When you look in Egypt and there's slavery, and it looks like nothing's going to happen, God uses Moses and brings them out. All the way through the Bible, when things look bad, God turns it for good. Paul said, hey, being in prison's not bad in Philippians, when he was writing the Philippians. In fact, it's actually helped spread the gospel even more. So in our lives, sometimes things don't always look good, or sometimes there's problems, or sometimes there's issues, or sometimes those things, and we say, gosh, this is bad. I wish things were better. We don't realize that God's going to take that, and he's going to use it for something really, really, really good. So look what happens in verse 37. Reuben spoke to his father, saying, they got to go back. But after they emptied the sacks and they're all upset. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, you may put my two sons to death, but I'll not bring him back to you. Put him in my care, and I'll return him to you. He says, listen, we've got to take Benjamin back. But, and this is wild. Reuben actually says, what? If I don't bring him back, you do what? You can kill my sons. Whoa, that's pretty rugged. He says, if it doesn't work out, you can kill my two sons. Jacob said, no, my son shall not go down with you. He didn't say, our brother is your brother. No, he says, my son, for his brother is dead, and he alone is left. If harm should follow him for this journey you're taking, then you'll bring down my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow. He said, nope, not going, because Joseph is dead. We're not going to go. What did Jacob say? Benjamin's not going to go because Joseph's dead, and we're not going to do this. So I got some questions. I put three things I want you to think about. He says what? What's going to happen? Tell me what Jacob says. Benjamin is not going. Okay, not going. Well, then here's my questions. Well, what about Simeon then? I mean, Simeon is there, right? And Simeon is in prison waiting for them to come back with the younger brother so he can get out of prison. But Jacob says, they're not going. You're not taking the youngest son. You're not taking my son. He says, my son will not go down. His brother's dead, and he alone is left. We're not going to do it. my question is, well, what about Simeon then? You just going to leave him there? Second is, what about when the food runs out? I mean, it's okay right this second because we just got a bunch of food. But what about when the food runs out? What are we going to do then? We're going to have to eventually go back one way or the other. And will Jacob trust God? He's going to have to trust God. Why? Because he can't hold on to Benjamin. If he holds on to Benjamin, what happens? He loses the whole family. This is so complicated. It's just so hard. So what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Are they going to take the youngest son? What's going to happen? Well, look at chapter 43. Now, the famine was severe in the land. Okay, it didn't get better. Remember, there were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And by the way, this is about the second, this is, I think, around the second year of the famine is all. People have already run out of food. They're all having to go and get it. And so the famine was very great. There's going to be 7 years of it. And look what happens, verse 2. Judah spoke to him. Verse 2. So it came about when they had finished eating the grain which they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, go back and buy us some more food. You want to say, are you getting senile in your old age? Do you know what you just asked us to do? Reuben spoke to him saying, the man solemnly warned us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. He said, Daddy, we can't go back if we don't take Benjamin. Because he said, when the food runs out and we're not going to get to see the ruler unless Benjamin is there, we're not going to get to do it. So what are we going to do? What's going to be the answer? How can we do this? We're not going to see the ruler unless Benjamin is there. And so he says, if you do not send him, we will not go. He says, if you send our brother with us, we'll go down and buy the food. But if you do not send him with us, we're not going down. For the man said, you'll not see my face unless your brother is with you. He said, Daddy, we're not going. Either if you send the brother, we'll go. If you don't, we're not going. Well, what does that mean to them if they don't go? They're probably going to starve to death. And you know, Joseph is in Egypt, and he's doing great. But what tribe does the Messiah come through? Judah's here. Judah could starve to death. If Judah starves to death, guess what? No Messiah. So watch what happens. Israel said, that's Jacob, why did you treat me so badly by telling the man that whether you still had another brother? Why in the world would you tell him you had another brother? And you could say, well, we didn't know. They said that the man questioned us about everything and about the relatives. Is your father still alive? Have you had other brothers? We answered the questions. Could we possibly know that he would say, bring your brother down? We didn't know when he was asking us all the questions. We were just answering the questions. We had no way of knowing that if we said, well, we got a brother back home, that he would tell us we had to go get him. Judah said to his father, send the lad with me. We will arise and go, that we'll live and not die, as well as you and our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. You can hold me responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame before you forever. He's begging his father, let me take him. Let me take him. And I'll be responsible. I will be responsible for whatever happens. You know, when you say you're going to be responsible for something, that, you know what? That's true. You got to be responsible. And he doesn't know just how dangerous this might be. He's going to find out. So look what happens. He goes on to say, if we had not delayed, surely by now we would have returned what? Twice. See, they didn't get there and turn around and come right back. They get down there and they use all of the food up. And then he says, Daddy, we got to go back. And he says, no. And he says, if we don't go, we got to go. And he says, if we, what about Simon? What about him? What about him being left in Egypt? If we could have gone up and back twice by now. If you're Simeon in prison, what are you thinking? Why aren't they coming back? How hard is it to go over there, get somebody and come back to get me out of prison? Jacob loves Benjamin, but at the same time, he's going to have to trust God. This is where it gets hard. Because sometimes it gets really hard. So look what happens. Their father Israel said to them, okay. If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best products of the land in your bags, carry it into a man as a present, a little balm, a little honey, some gum, some myrrh, some pistachio nuts, some almonds. I mean, they have some things. They said, take it up there and give it to him as a gift. Take double the money. Why? Because they got the money back. So take double the money in your hand, take it back in your hand, and the money that was returned to the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also, and arise and return to the man. Wow. He said, go. Take some presents, take some stuff, take your brother, and then look what he says, and may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man, so that he release to you your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I'm bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved. God Almighty. That's El Shaddai, y'all. May El Shaddai take care of me and protect me. And he said, if I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. What does that sound like? Does that sound like anything you've ever heard before? Esther, if I perish, I perish. He says, if I'm going to be all sad, I've got to trust God. And so what did they do? Verse 15. So the men took the present. They took the double amount of money in their hand. And Benjamin, they arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Wow. So here's the plan. They take double the money, and they took Benjamin. And the plan by Joseph was to test them. How would they treat? Oh, let me leave it up there. They took the present, the double money, and they took Benjamin. How would you like to be on that trip? They're probably fussing all the way trying to figure out, what do we do? What's going to happen when we get there? What? Wonder if Simeon's okay. You can hear him saying, we should have gone a long time ago. We don't know. Tell him what's happened to Simeon by this time. And so you look at this. Here's Joseph's plan. To test them based on how they treat Benjamin. Would they bring him? Did they hate him like they hated Joseph? And are they going to be jealous? Were they honest? So let's see the testing. Here's test number two. Testing the brothers, number two. Look what happens when Joseph sees Benjamin. Verse 16. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, and he said to his house steward, bring the men into the house, slay an animal, make it ready, for the men are going to eat with me at noon. That could be good or bad. You know, they're actually thinking, what's going on? And so they did bring back Benjamin, and they've come back for Simeon. And so what's the plan? Now, if you're there, and he says to you, get everybody, y'all get these people cleaned up, they're going to eat with me. What do you think they want to talk about to somebody? Can you think about it? What did they bring back? The extra money. So look what they do. So the men did as Joseph said and brought them into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they brought to Joseph's house. They said, it's because of the money that was returned in our sacks that first time that we're being brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall on us and take us for slaves and our donkeys. The reason he's inviting us to our house, to his house, to eat with him, it's a trick. He thinks we stole the money, and when we get there, they're gonna jump on us and get us. That's what they think. So what are you going to do? What are they going to do? Well, look what it says. So they came near Joseph's house steward and spoke to him at the entrance of the house. They came to the man and said, listen, oh my Lord, we indeed came down the first time to buy food. It came about that when we came to the lodging place, we opened our sacks, and behold, everybody's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full. So we brought it back in our hand. We brought down other money in our hand to pay the food. We don't know who put our money in our sacks. Which what?
What was the bottom part of the test on
page? I can't hear you. You got to talk loud.
It was they have come back for Simeon. He's wanting to know
that one. Well, yeah, right there. Yeah. So they did bring Benjamin, and they've come back for Simeon. That's the plan. And so they go, and who do they talk to? They talked to the steward because they said, listen, he'll know what's happening. He said, we don't know how to explain this, but last time we came here, we paid for the money, but when we stopped, we opened it up and all the money was still in our sacks. We don't know who put the money in our sacks. We brought the money back. We brought that money back, and we brought the money to buy everything. We don't know what to do. I like it when he says, verse 22, we brought down other money in our hand to buy the food. We don't know who put the money in our sacks. Now watch what the steward says. He said, be at ease and don't be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. He's the one that put the money back in there. That's the member Joseph told him, put their money back in their sacks. His steward, Joseph's steward, has put the money back in the sacks. He knows all about it. And so when they say, we don't know what to do, we're all afraid, and they fear the money, the steward says, God has given treasure in their sacks. This is from God. This is from God. That's amazing. He put the money in their sacks. So we said, have they passed the test so far? The best we can tell, they are honest. They've said we didn't steal the money, and they brought back their youngest brother, and so everything seems to be okay. And so watch what happens. Verse 24. The man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and they gave their donkey fodder. So they prepared the present for Joseph coming at noon, for they heard that they were going to eat the meal there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand, and they what? What did they do? They bowed to him again. They don't realize that they're doing exactly what he said they do. Joseph, they questioned his brothers, that Joseph enters and they bow down. The dream is going to be fulfilled. And so he begins to ask the questions. And let me just put it, he wants to know about his brothers. He wants to know about his father. So look what he says when he comes in. He asked them about their welfare. And he says, is your old father well of whom you spoke about? Is he still alive? He doesn't know. It's not been what? It's not been a couple of weeks. There's no telling how long it's been. It might even have been over a year by the time, because they could have gone and come back twice. So we don't know how long it's been. He says, is your father well? They said, your servant, our father, is well. He's still alive. And what did they do? They bowed down again. Joseph is saying, man, you guys, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what you're doing. And so then he lifted his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. And he said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, may God be gracious to you, my son. And Joseph hurried out. He was deeply stirred over his brother. He sought a place to weep, and he entered his chambers and wept. He left him. He said, I'll be back. I'll be back. And he was stirred. The dream is fulfilled many times on the bowing down. And the word there, when it says where it says he was deeply stirred, it literally in Hebrew means it was warm and tender. It was like his heart was melting. He was seeing his brother that he hadn't seen in 20 years. And, I mean, this is really something. So we're getting about ready for another test. And this was going to be a big test this time. Test number three, the favoritism, and watch what happens. What did they think when they threw Joseph into the thing? Why did they do all that? They were what? They were jealous of him. His father showed favoritism, and so what's he going to do? He's going to say, how do they treat my little brother? They treated me a certain way. How do they treat him? So look what happens. We're going to see verse 33. Now they were all seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. They all sat down to eat, and Joseph has them, and he says, there, 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 there. And all of a sudden they realize it's in their birth order. And they think, how does this person know this? How could this possibly be? Joseph said his brothers as they ate their meal, and Joseph had them seated from the oldest to the youngest. And they began to look around. And what was it? They were amazed. And they were seated according. He took portions. Now watch this. He took portions of them from his own table, But Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Now, what if everybody got one chicken leg and Benjamin got five chicken legs? I mean, think about it. That, though, Benjamin got five times more. Why did he do that? What are they going to do? Are they going to say, why does he get more? This isn't fair. Are they going to say anything? What are they going to do? Favoritism. How would the brothers react? Would they be jealous? Would they argue? Would they hate Benjamin? What are they going to do? Well, we still got one more test. Because what do we see them doing? Anything? Do we see them saying Benjamin shouldn't get five times more than all the rest of us? Do we see any of that? No. And so now test number four. And this is the cup. Look, go back. Yeah. Would the brothers, how would they act? Would they be jealous? Would they argue? Would they hate Benjamin? I mean, that's really what it's about. What's going on? What would they do? And so now we're going to get the final test, which is called the cup. And that's, are y'all ready for me to go? Are you okay? Did y'all get it? Or we still need to write? So here's the cup. Genesis chapter 44. Then he commanded his house steward, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of the sack. Oh, no. Again? Yeah. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of who?
Benjamin,
the youngest, and his money for the grain. And he did as Joseph told him. So they're getting ready to leave, and they don't know what's going to happen. And so he's put it in there. And Joseph called the steward and said, I want you to do this. Put this in there, and we're gonna catch him. Watch. And as soon as it was light, the men went away with the donkeys, and they had just gone out of the city. They were not far off. Joseph said to his house steward, up, follow the men. When you overtake them, say to them, why have you done evil for good? Is it not this one from which my Lord drinks? And he indeed uses it for divination. You have done wrong in doing this. They said, you stole the cup. And he overtook them and he spoke those words to them. And so here they are. They think, this, we made it. We've got Benjamin. We've got Simeon. We're on the way back. We got all kind of food. Everything is working out good. What did Joseph tell the steward? Put the cup in the sacks. Go get them. What would they say to these things? He catches up and said, what do you think y'all are doing? You took the master's cup. So he overtook them and spoke these words. And they said to him, why does my Lord speak such word? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, the money which you found in the mouth of our sacks we brought back. How then would we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? We would never do that. We would never steal. We would never do that. Why would you think that we would do such a thing? Why would you think we would do such a thing? And then look what he goes on to say. They say, with whomever of your servants it is found, let them die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. Whew. Boy, you better know your brothers when you make that statement. And so what did they say? If it's found, I'm sure it's not going to be found, but if it's found, they're going to die and the rest of us are going to be slaves. And of course, you know what the servant's going to do. Who's he going to start with? The oldest, right? Right. So it said, let it be according to your words. He with whom it shall be found will be my slave. The rest of you will be innocent. And they heard each man lower his sack to the ground and opened the sack. And he searched beginning with what? Oh, you know why? Because, okay, yep, nothing here. Yep, nothing here. Yep, nothing here. Going all the way around. And they're going to get to the youngest guy. And they're going to all say, we know Benjamin. He would never steal anything. He began with the oldest and ended with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. What did they do? They tore their clothes and they loaded the donkeys and they're headed back. Oh, my gracious, my gracious. What happened? They searched and it was found in Benjamin's sack. And they thought, oh, my gracious, what are we going to do? And you could look at Benjamin and go, Benjamin, what are you? I didn't do it. I don't know how it got in there. I did not do it. And so when Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there. And they, what did they do? They bowed down again. This is, I think it's what the brothers do when Joseph came. They bow down. They still don't know it's Joseph. How many times do they bow? They bow at least five times. What have you done? You can see Joseph. He's so wise. He says, what is this deed you've done? Do you not know that a man such as me can practice divination? He actually says, I knew you stole it. I knew it. I knew it. And he says, so what can we say to my Lord? Judah said, what can we say? How can we justify ourselves? God found out the iniquity of your servants. Behold, we're your slaves. Both we and the one in possession, the cup has been found. We'll all be your slaves. But he said, no. Far be it from me to do this. The man in whose possession the cup has been found, he shall be my slave. But as for you, you can go. Well, wait a minute. Who's the most important one there as far as Jacob is concerned? Benjamin. And so they're saying, wait a minute, you're telling us, yeah, you can go. Everybody can go. We'll just keep we'll keep this one here. The one caught would be a slave. The rest would be innocent. Would they abandon their brother? What did they do to Joseph? They abandoned him. They sold him off. Are they going to do the same? This is the test. Are they going to do the same thing? Are they going to do the same thing? Well, look. Judah stepped forward. Then Judah approached him and said, oh, my Lord, may your servants please speak a word in my Lord's ears. And do not be angry with your servant, for you are equal to Pharaoh. He said, would you mind? And Judah's going to step forward. And he basically says this. We have, look at verse 20. We have an old father and a little child of his old age. His brother's dead. He alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him. And when you said to your servant, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him, we said to my Lord, the Lord cannot leave his father. If he should leave his father would die. But you said, unless your youngest brother comes down, you don't ever see my face again. So it came about that we went to the servant, we told my father that. And father said, well, go back and get us some food. But we said, we can't go down if the younger brother doesn't go. And your servant, my father said, okay, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and one went out for me and he's gone, he's torn to pieces. And the other one, I just can't stand any. That anything could happen to him. So verse 30. Now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, his life is bound up in the lad's life. And when he sees the lad is not with us, he'll die. Thus your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Sheol in sorrow. He says, we can't go back. We cannot go back without him. We can't go back because Jacob will die. My father will not be able to take it if we go back. So then Judah does something that someone from Judah is going to do a couple of thousand years later, maybe 1,500 years later, maybe 2,000 years later. Judah says this. 33. Therefore, let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord. Let the lad go with his brothers, because how can I go up to my father's lad's not with me, for I fear that the evil will overtake my father. He said, let me stay. Judah says, let me be the slave and let Benjamin go home. Judah offers himself in the place. That's substitution. The substitution. You don't have to write every word down, but that's the substitution right there. And he says, I can't go back and watch my father die. So let me be the one. They pass the test. Judah cares enough to become a slave in Benjamin's place. Are they changed men? That's what Joseph thinks. He says they're not the same. They pass the test. And think about this. You don't have to write. In fact, don't write all. You've already got it. He put the money in the sacks. He kept Simeon. He asked for Benjamin. He gave Benjamin five times as much food. They hid the cup. You don't have to write that in there just because of time. But just think about that. They passed every test that he gave them. And you can almost see him with his heart breaking, knowing that if he were to keep Benjamin, that his father would die. And Judah is willing to be a servant in his place. I think of that, the greatest substitution, Jesus Christ came in the world. That's the substitute for mankind. I've got in your handout there, 1 Peter 3:18. Jesus Christ died the just for the unjust. 2 Corinthians 5:21. They died. It should be 2 Corinthians 5:21. He died for us, to become sin for us. He died in our place. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love toward us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. I don't know. Do y'all have 2 Corinthians 5:26 or 5:21?
26.
See, there's no. Yes, yeah, 21. Okay, so that's that. He's basically saying this is the greatest act of all time, the substitution of our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, chapter 45, Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." He sent everybody out. He sent everybody out, and what he does. So there was no man with him, and Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Joseph made himself known. They all passed the test. He tells them, "I'm Joseph." Now look at their faces. They don't know. He wept so loudly the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Everybody said, "Hey, Joseph's weeping. We don't know what's going on." Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But the brothers could not answer him. They were dismayed at his presence. Why were they dismayed? They thought, he's alive, and he's got all this power, and he could do anything to us he wanted to do. They were dismayed. Did they know it was Joseph? Is it really? Think of all he could do for us and against us. And look what he says. "Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Let me tell you, what kind of person is Joseph? He says, "Your actions, you sold me, but it was God's actions. God sent me here to preserve your lives, to keep us all alive. The reason God sent me here and the reason you actually sold me into prison was so that God could save us all." And we look at it and say, it's not just so he could save that Jewish people then, but it was to have the Messiah come from us. Wow. Why did God send Joseph to Egypt to save his brothers' lives? Look what he says in verse 6. This tells you something. For the famine, he tells them, he says, famine has been in the land for 2 years. There's still 5 years left. I mean, we only got 2 years into this famine. So that means Joseph is 39 years old. Think about it. And so he says there's still 5 years left, and there'll be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you the remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Why is it so important they stay alive? Because the Messiah is going to come through there. Listen, Joseph is a picture of Christ. And if you, I think, do you have your last thing? Look at this right here. Joseph is what they call a type of Christ. He was beloved by the Father. Jesus was beloved by the Father. Joseph was sent to his brothers. Jesus was sent to his brothers. He came into his own. He was rejected by his brothers. Jesus rejected. He came into his own. His own received him not. He became a slave. Jesus became a servant. He became a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He gave bread. He gave bread out to him. Jesus is the bread of life. They all bow down. Every knee will bow and every tongue will praise. So it's a great picture. That's why Joseph sometimes is called a picture of Jesus Christ. He's a type of Christ in the Old Testament, that how that ties about. Look at verse 8. I love what he says. I've lost my place. Wait a minute. "Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh." That means one who can give advice and information. "He's made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord over all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt." The last time they saw him, they had pulled him out of a well and sold him off. And this time they now see him, and he's second in the whole nation of Egypt. God, it was not you who sent me here, but it was God. Sometimes people hurt us, and God turns it for something good. And you can just say, well, they didn't even know it, but they were doing something God wanted them to do. Let me give you some applications. Let's trust God in all situations. From the famines to the accusations to our families to every event, we have to trust God. What did Jacob have to do? He had to send who? He had to send Benjamin. He'd have lost his whole family if he hadn't sent Benjamin. So he's got to send Benjamin. What do we have to do day in and day out? We have to trust him. That's the only thing we got. Secondly, let's be men and women of character, because they were being tested, and they did really well. They did really well. They didn't seem to gripe. Yeah, let me just say something to you. When they ultimately go back to go get Jacob, bring him there, he starts giving them all these clothes, and of course he gives Benjamin more than everybody else. And as they get ready to go, he says, "Now y'all don't fuss on the way back. I don't want to see any fussing. I don't want to hear that you fussed on the way back." The third thing is God, may we understand that God's prophecies always come true. What did Joseph's dream say? They would what? How many times have we seen them bow down? It's so funny. And you know, guess what? Is there going there was a first coming of Jesus, and the Bible talked all about it. Does the Bible talk about a second coming of Jesus to the earth? Do you think that's going to happen? If the first coming happened exactly as God said in all the prophecies, do you think the second coming of Jesus will happen in all the prophecies? And do you think the prophecies about the rapture, which is different than the second coming, do you think that'll happen? We know it will. Boy, let's understand substitution. Wow. Would you have become a slave for your brother or sister? Some of you would. You'd say, well, if it meant them being okay, I'd do it. What did Jesus do for us? He said, the wages of sin is, we all owe God what? Death, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus says, I'll die in their place. I'll take their place. I'll be their substitute. I like the last one. Let's forgive one another. What did Joseph do? He forgave his brothers. Now, did they think he did? They don't know. They don't know for sure. Because here's what's going to happen. You remember that they think he's forgiven them, and they all get there, and then Jacob dies. And when Jacob dies, what do they say? They go to Joseph and said, oh, by the way, before Dad died, he said, don't be mad at us. And Joseph says, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. I'm never going to be mad at you.